Why, hello there, and welcome along to the podcast. I didn't know how I was going to start this, but we did it that way. So there you go. This is the podcast for the Rush Hour. Andrew Embley, Katie Lamb, I'm the anchor, and weird guy, obviously, Leachy.
What do we think about that? Was that almost a nature documentary intro, or was it behind-the-scenes porn shoot?
Yeah, I think it was more that.
Yeah, very hello. Porny.
One of those 1-300 numbers, I think, that you call late at night.
1-300?
If you want the documentary.
Have you ever called them?
Oh, yes, sir, yes.
Did you really?
No, of course
no,
not.
No, sorry. There are things that you say that are jokes, but I feel like that wasn't a joke.
That came out too seamlessly.
I reckon I might have accidentally called the wrong number once.
Bullshit.
That's how old Embers is. Yeah. He would have called one of those lines so he could just hear it.
I was chasing my mum. Who's this? Sundrel.
Found it at the back of Zoom magazine.
Hey.
Vortex. Is that what they call it those days?
Okay, hey, Embers, real quick one for you, mate.
Yes.
Legit, how much do you charge on Cameo for a video?
Oh, great question.
I actually don't do Cameo.
You don't? What do you do?
I do none of them. So a few years ago when Swish and Cameo got started, they sort of got in contact with us and I think I joined up. But then I emailed them both and said, listen, I'm just not doing it anymore.
Because, mate, my God, the cash. If you just made a $10 video to every West Coast Eagles member, how much cash would he make, Leachy?
He would make $1 million.
But the thing is, not one West Coast Eagles supporter wants a message from him.
Well, 10,000 might.
So it's really easy for me, for my ego and the way that I feel about myself, to actually cancel it, because the fact that I've actually still got it and not making any money is embarrassing. So now I just cancel it.
We should do it. Let's do it. Let's sign up to Cameo, both of us, and see what happens.
That's a really good idea.
We do it for like a charitable cause. Maybe, you know?
No, just Katie and then Embers separately.
I don't want that.
Yeah, and let's do a little.
That's a shame.
Let's do a little
competition. What would your little Cameo be?
I've actually been asked to join Cameo.
Yeah. About netball.
No, not about netball.
Okay, yeah. Hi, it's Katie Lamb here from the City Beach Seagulls. Div for
City Beach Slickers.
MVP.
The Slickers, weren't they?
Surfers.
No, the Lickers.
City Slickers, sorry.
The Lickers. One of the Lickers.
That's right.
That's my other club.
The Mother Lickers. Oh, you got to get on that. Horny pineapples, everybody.
Horny pineapples.
Here's your podcast. We're getting straight into it.
From Roebuck Bay to the Roe Highway, got my ice mocha from Dome Cafe, the super pizza Floriette, Inaloo, Wanneroo, and Esperance too, across Albany and the Gloucester Tree.
With Katie Lamb
and Andrew Embley.
From the greatest city in the world, it's time for Triple M's Rush Hour with Andrew Embley and Katie Lamb. Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. Chances are you're about to lose.
Right now, 133353. When did you call for help?
When did you have to call for help? It happened to me this morning. I went out, I walked the dogs, my usual routine. I've come home and I've gone for my car keys. They're not there, right? So I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get into the house? Never fear, the spare key, little lockbox.
Of course, yeah, everyone's got a spare key.
So I've gone over, I've done the combo code, which I will not say on air. Thank you very much.
What's your postcode?
601. Oh, damn it. And I've opened up the little lockbox.
Yeah.
And there was no key in there.
Oh,
and I was like,
you know what would have happened?
Oh, my God.
You would have come home either Friday or Saturday in the early hours. You would have taken the key out. You would have forgotten about it. You would have certainly eaten your kebab and you would have lost the key.
Well, that's actually exactly what happened. So I came home. I was the last person to use the spare key. I'd had a couple of drinks. I've left it inside somewhere and I polished off that kebab. So I've had to call my partner Teens and I was just like, hello, what are you up to? And she was like, I'm at work. What's up? And I was like, I've locked myself out of the house. You wouldn't believe it, but I obviously need to get back in because I need to get
she
my
goes,
keys and
Katie,
go to work myself.
I'm working.
And she's a fiery as well, so they're actually out, you know, fighting fires. And I was just like, cancel all the fires. You need to come and drop the spare key like ASAP. Anyways, she's like, I'll see what I can do. Eventually, about like 20 minutes later, up rolls the fire engine out the front of my house.
Oh, no.
You would have think like people were actually looking in, being like, oh my God, what's going on in there?
In the roof or something like that?
He's just wound down the window and just chucked the spare key at me. I was like, thank you. And she just put on the lights and sirens and then just went.
And we do apologise to the lady in Donella who had her house burnt down today because there was no fire to come and actually
I know,
put it out because she
priorities.
Was doing something else.
133353, when did you have to call for help?
So in COVID, I was working down down on my wife's farm, and I was a farmhand. And so one of the jobs that I had one particular day was to clear some rubbish and, you know, get rid of a few trees. So I'd taken the...
You were the bin boy.
I was the bin boy, yeah. So I'd taken the car, the four-wheel drive, down to the front of the property, and I got myself bogged. Now, when you're on the farm, you just got to think your way out of these kind of things. So I sort of dug a little bit of hole underneath the tyre. I put some rocks in there thinking I could drive myself out of it. Just couldn't do it. So I got on the walkie-talkie, called the farm manager, and you can see he was a bit frustrated. So anyway, he's sort of come down and he goes, why don't you try putting the car into a four-wheel drive and just drive straight out of it?
Oh, no.
And I said, okay.
Yeah. And I was just seeing if that's what you would have thought.
That's exactly what I did. Spoiled. And within 3 seconds, I was out of the little mess that I was in.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Oh, this old boy, he ain't what he used to be. Jamie's from Secret Harbour. G'day, Jamie.
Yes.
Hello, Jamie. Why'd you have to call for help?
Well, it was an accidental call for help. I was in Japan and the toilets over there, obviously, as most people know, have lots of little buttons on there.
Yep.
And I was in the train, one of the train stations, and I hadn't seen this button on the toilet, on any of the other toilets.
Yep.
And it had like this little face with someone sort of speaking. So I pressed it and I'm sitting there and I, could hear, like, someone's come in and I could hear them speaking in Japanese and I just ignored it. It was a male's voice. And he keeps, like, calling out and there's no one else in the toilet. And then in the end, he's, like, going, hello, hello. And I'm going, hello? And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, you pressed the button for help. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
That is so embarrassing.
That's brilliant.
I've walked out of the toilet and my husband's waiting there and he's going, did you just press a button that you shouldn't have? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, you're such an idiot.
Oh,
so I've learned that, and I told everyone, if you ever go to Japan, do not press that button.
Oh, don't press the button.
It's very embarrassing.
I wonder why people do press the button. Is it like a clogging situation
I have no idea. They may have got locked in or something like that. But I did learn all the buttons. They definitely do not press them all.
Okay. Good tip if you're traveling to Japan.
That's exactly what we're talking about on 133353. When did you have to call for help? Sally's from Gosnells. G'day, Sally.
Hi, how you going?
Hey, Sal. When did you have to call for help?
So it was a couple of years ago now. I was working as a furniture removalist and we just had smoko. And I was sitting on the back of the truck and as I slid off the truck, my pants got caught on the pin that the doors lock into.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, completely tore them, like, half, basically. Help
me. Oh, Sally, so embarrassing.
How
as well.
How many people saw it?
I was on site and I was working with all boys.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yes, I had to call my boss because Danny had the trucks there. I had to call my boss to come and pick me up so he could take me back to get some new pants.
I named
Sally G from that day on.
Please tell me you don't do an Embers and go commando to work. God.
No, I was wearing a G-string, though.
Oh, G-string.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So not much.
God, wearing a G-banger to work, that's commitment. We got one through the text line, 0488 5592.
What was the number? 0488 5592. Yeah, I think you might have called out some other number, but anyway.
Oh, sorry. That's just what it says on the sheet. His name is Tim, and he said, I was showering in my hotel room in Florence in Italy. I pulled the cord for the extractor fan. Suddenly, a little Italian man is in my shower asking if I was okay. Apparently, you're meant to pull the cord if you fall. Oh. I mean, a great safety mechanism.
Hello, little Luigi's just come in to say, oh, g'day, how are you? What are you doing in here? Well, you called me.
Leechy, what happened to you?
So my next door neighbour had a fire happen at their house a couple of years ago. And this was like on a late Saturday night. And I thought, there's smoke coming through my house. I thought, I'll just go into work and sleep there. So I went there. I was asleep for a little bit. Then I had to go to the toilet, which is outside. So I went outside. Went to the toilet and then went, hang on, where's my swipe card to get back into work?
Oh, no.
Didn't have it, did
no.
I?
Lock yourself
it
out.
It was about 1:30 in the morning. So I had to wait on the Sunday morning till about maybe 6:30 to actually message someone and go, hey, can you let me back into work?
Oh, you were so polite waiting that time.
Well, because I knew that most of the people that were around there were already on the bender. So it's like, you know, they're not going to answer until later anyway.
When did you have to call for help? Let's go to Christy in Thornley. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, Chrissy. Tell us when you had to call for help.
So December last year, I was not quite 2 months post-op of my right elbow, and I was a week post-op of my left wrist surgery. And I had to wash my hair, so I sat in a bathtub and let my daughter wash my hair. And then I tried to get up out of said bathtub and realized that I couldn't weight bear on either of my arms. So my daughter's gone, oh, I'll get my brother. And I'm like, no, don't, because, you know, he's a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So we've had to call my mum to come and get me out of a bathtub.
Oh, I couldn't get out.
Christy.
Like, that moment where you're like, I did not think this through.
Yeah, no. I mean, I had clean hair. It was lovely.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I couldn't weight bear with either arm to lift myself up out.
So. Oh, you poor thing. Chuck a little bath bomb in there and just, you know, relax. Light a few candles, Christy. Yeah,
a little bit of meditation for you.
It was nice until Mum got there.
Looking for your next move in mining and construction? Your success, our service. Silverstone. The Rush Hour Suburban Search for Silverstone.
Oh, yeah. The only station you can listen to offering up $2,000 cash every Friday. We're just hiding a precious silver something somewhere in Perth, and this week it's a silver netball.
And could that silver netball be in your suburb? It could be in a park, it could be at
a
KFC, it could be absolutely anywhere. Silver netball, and all you need to do is find that on Friday, and if you do, if you are the first person to find it, you will win $2,000.
That's right. So Friday after 4:30, you find the silver netball, you win the cash. Yesterday we heard the clue was it's 19.2 kilometres from Perth CBD.
You've got to listen to the clues because every single day we'll give you a new one. And today's clue is that it is south of the Perth CBD.
Wow, we've just given it away.
19.2K really south of the Perth CBD.
So all you need to do is go 19.2 kilometres south of the Perth CBD and you'll find it.
Walk
it's that
it
easy.
Now. Just walk it. Like,
walk it. Ride it. Jog it.
And if you're off, you could be off just 0.1 of a metre. So just turn to your left and might be there.
Yeah. And it's signed by yours truly and Andrew Embley.
Have you both signed it?
We've both signed it. Yeah. And I made it very clear. Katie Lamb, Division 1 netball.
And it's very easy
Division
to
4.
Turn that 1 into a 4 as well, Leachy.
Did you draw a little lamb on it as well? Like Mitch, our number
I should.
One ticket holder?
I should.
Yeah, okay. That is happening on Friday. So keep listening out for the clues. We'll give you another clue this time tomorrow. And then 4:30 Friday, once we give out the final clue, we let you out on the loose and try and find that silver net ball. And if you're the first one to do it,
$2,000
is all yours.
Something a bit of fun happened this morning. Little Sean was reading out something of yours, Embers. What was it?
So they were playing like a Cameo game where you guess how much that someone on Cameo, which is where you can ask for someone to send a video of
Cameo's
for like a
friend. An app if you don't know.
Right.
Yeah, so you can get sort of like celebrities to...
A birthday request. Someone might say, Katie, can you send my friend a birthday request? Say, happy birthday. I'm Katie Lamb, Division 4 netballer, and I just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Trying to guess how much it costs. That
exactly.
was the game that
yes.
they were
gotcha.
Playing. Yes.
So your price would be like, you know, like maybe $9.95 or something like that.
$9.95. How much is yours? Okay, because you're actually on Cameo, aren't you?
This is exactly what they were talking about this morning. They were trying to figure out how much Embers was for a Cameo.
Yeah, so they thought they'd try and figure out how much Andrew Embley costs. And Sean was going through the little bio for Andrew Embley and might have stumbled at one point.
So his bio says retired AFL footballer, radio personality and cock. Cook.
Don't pretend you did that accidentally.
No, that was an accident. He actually got it right the first time.
Knowing you probably just misspelled the word cook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As we know, the way that you do live reads,
yes.
Every chance that you probably cocks that up.
There is one rule about live reads, just don't do them live.
And that's the thing, though, with live radio, and it's the same as live TV. Once you say something, we don't have a magic button where you can just rewind.
No, especially on TV or if you're like on the news or because everything is live. Mm. And there are so many times when people get their words all muddled up.
Especially you. But in this case, this morning, it was Sean, which was hilarious.
And it's so good when it happens to someone else, mind you.
So we thought we'd put a little montage together of typically some news anchors, I believe, when they've accidentally said the wrong thing.
Check your panties. About 175,000 rice. I think that was supposed to be pantries.
After the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Australian skipper Tim Payne is set to undergo neck surgery, but medical staff remain confident that the veteran will be fit for the Ashes. Payne has a bulging disc that has been, that's a funny one, has been causing him pain. I'm going to throw to you very quickly, Michael.
Bulging what?
Disc. I said disc. That's what I thought you said.
Was that Pav?
No, that was Tony Armstrong from ABC.
That was so funny. I haven't
heard
that last one.
There were some good ones there.
Oh, my God.
It can all happen. Brilliant. Oh, it's so
check
good.
Your panties. Yes. I think that was meant to say
Pav. What's so remarkable about a gay guy going up a mountain?
But he's gay. Yeah. I mean blind.
Yeah. This didn't happen in Nepal. It happened in, you are gay.
It's time to find Perth's smartest suburb.
How good is Perth?
North versus South. Battle of the Burbs.
And Southie's lead 26-20. North are trailing behind. They're struggling. South have just completely taken off. Hopefully, North have recruited their smartest person to play today.
Well, I think they have.
Oh, good.
And my understanding is that Matty, right? He's from Alexander Heights. Mm. He has actually represented the North before.
Oh, amazing.
And he was stiff to lose last time. In fact, I thought he was robbed, so we'll give him another opportunity. It's redemption round.
I can't be the smartest person from the North if he's already lost.
Matty, come on down. Welcome to you.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, yeah, Matty. Are you still a little bit sour that you lost that time?
Oh, I only lost by a little bit, but yeah.
Only lost by, well, it could only be about one or two. All right, well, you were taking on, she's representing the South very well. It's Melissa from Pinjarra. Come on down.
Hi, guys.
Melissa, I love that bakery down in Pinjarra there. What's it called?
There's Pinjarra Bakery and there's Kim Bakery.
They're both great bakeries.
Pinjarra. They really are.
Yes.
I love that bakery in Pinjarra. What's it called?
Pinjarra Bakery.
Yeah, cool. That's the one.
And what side of the river are you representing, Embers?
I'm on the North side today. Come on, Maddie, because North, we need a little bit of love. But I do like Melissa and I do like Pinjarra and I do like bakery. So I'm on the fence, actually.
Why do you like Melissa? God, yeah. Come down. You're married.
Melissa, your buzzer is South. Maddie, your buzzer is North. First to two is the winner. Puts a point on the board for their side of the river. Question number one.
Okay. Which is surfing great announced his retirement?
South.
Yep.
Kelly Slater. He announced his retirement from professional surfing today down at the Margaret River Pro.
Maddie, you still there?
Yeah, still
here. He was close, Maddie, though. Okay. I did hear a North come out too.
Maddie, you do need this to stay in the game. Melissa, you get this, you win. Here we go. Question two. If I was visiting the Taj Mahal, which country would I be in?
South.
South for the win.
India.
Oh, wow. And Maddie loses.
Maddie, you just come up against a brick wall again.
Oh, sorry, Maddie.
Far out, Maddie.
Melissa.
Melissa, that was just
sorry,
too fast.
Maddie. Sorry.
Yeah.
All good.
Congratulations, Melissa.
$100
thank
to
you. Guys. Oh, that's legendary. Thank you.
Yes. All thanks to New Wealth.
Yep.
Where's the best pub to go to in Pinjarra for a cheeky pint?
Ravo or the Sandy
Cove. No, the nice Ravo's good.
The Ravo, you reckon?
Or just to the Pinjarra Bakery for heaps of pies.
That's a good point.
Pretty sure there's races at Pinjarra this Thursday.
Okay, take this offline.
Yeah, right. You take this off somewhere else.
Yesterday, we kicked off episode one of Embers Remembers. It was about the Demolition Derby.
That's right, yes. 18 players either fined and suspended. Embers was one of those players, but I was the only player that said not guilty.
Well, we enjoyed that so much. Of course, the Derby is going to be this Saturday, 6:10 Optus Stadium. We're all looking forward to it, especially me because I'm in the Triple M suite getting food and wine.
Of course, you can hear that game live here on Triple M from 4 p.m. Lee Chick.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Let's
get ready for episode two right now.
Thinking back to the good old days has never paid off like this.
A lot of people will remember this particular game.
West Coast have won by a point. Goodness gracious me.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, Embers Remembers.
Yesterday, of course, the Demolition Derby. But today, Katie, I want to talk to you about the famous London game. Now, can I just say the fallout from this game was significant. The relationships between West Coast and Fremantle were really tested post-2005. So we had just played an AFL grand final, the West Coast Eagles. We had lost that game. And the AFL during the year had decided to send two clubs to London to play in an exhibition game.
Oh, my God. First of all, fun. Second of all, what year was this, sorry?
So this is 2005.
Oh,
now,
yes,
the
I
AFL, that was the first mistake, sending West Coast and Fremantle to play an exhibition game where there's going to be no cameras. Right?
Were you on the same plane over?
No, thank goodness.
Hey, so this wasn't filmed, this game?
To my understanding, the game was not filmed.
Right.
And luckily, it wasn't filmed because I reckon a few players might have got suspended for life in this particular game. So, as you can imagine, now on the back end of a football trip, right, we've been over in London for about 5 or 6 days. We had a few commitments to do while we're over there, but it was a very much enjoyable sort of time, reflecting on the year that it was for both West Coast and Fremantle, but obviously a game to play at the end of the week, right? In front of about 12,000 people at the Oval, where normally the fifth test gets played, Leachy. Mm-hmm. So, now, I didn't actually play in the game, right? So, I had, I had a tight hamstring, right? And I was...
And a little bit hungover.
and considering round one was, about 5 months away, I was still really trying to get myself ready for that particular game. So, yeah, it's preparation that you'd say there, Lammy. So, myself, Cuzzy, I think Chris Judd didn't play, Bo Waters didn't play. So, the game itself, right, was on the Friday. And Cuzzy said, mate, listen, let's go and watch the game in a box. I said, absolutely, that's how we roll, Yeah. So we end up watching the game in the late Alan Bond's box. Remember Bondi, America's Cup hero, obviously got himself in a bit of a pickle, spent some time in jail, but he was living over in London at the time with his family. So Bondi invited Cuzzy, myself, Juddy, Bowie and a few other guys to watch the game in his box.
And I love a box, and that sounds like a box I wanted to be involved in.
That is my kind of day. So we're sitting there, we're watching the game, we're on the champers, on the caviar, it's rock star sort of treatment we're getting. And at the end of the game, though, there was so many people that had run onto the ground to have a kick, right? Because, all the expats are over there, they're all having fun. And I started to get a bit of FOMO, right? Yeah. I'm thinking, geez, I missed out on the game. And everyone's out there having a bit of fun. So Cuzzy goes, Embers, get out there and, go take some hangers and knock a few people over. So, Cuz, that's a really good idea. So I end up start charging down there, right? So I'm on the oval having a kick and doing cappers and might have, given a few blokes, a few big hip and shoulders, etc. And I remember I hip and shoulder this one bloke, right? Anyway, he's gone down, right? And anyway, the next thing, his partners come up, right? And she's whacking me. She's going, I just saw what you did to my boyfriend. But then at the same time, while she was giving me a spray, she realized who I was. And she goes, oh, Andrew Embley. Are you Andrew Embley? She goes, oh, my goodness. So she goes, can I have a photo? But the thing about it was that she's having a photo with me, right? But then on the ground is her boyfriend that's having a sleep. Right?
Help me, babe.
I'm Jesus, this is not going down too well. So now, for those people that do remember, the game itself, right, was just spitfires going on everywhere. So I said earlier there's no cameras, no one really saw it. And West Coast, because we just played an AFL grand final, we did play a lot of our young kids.
Right.
So, we had a lot of 17, 18, 19-year-olds running around. Fremantle, they came out and they targeted some of these younger kids, right? Mm. Now, John Worsfold, during the game, he was so angry with what he was seeing that he actually stormed into the Fremantle coaching box, right? And he goes, you guys want to fight? You guys want to fight? Fight me, he reckons. Oh. So Woosh was furious. Now, one of the Fremantle coaches got up, right, and said, come on, Woosh, sit down. And Woosher just goes, sit down. He goes, you sit down or I'll belt you too, So,
and I imagine some colourful language.
Yeah, a bit all there. So this has sort of, gone on during the game. Now,
so basically Dockers just came out and just and
they
went
wild. They were throwing a few.
And all your young Eagles players are just out there trying to get some experience.
It was on for Donkey Kong in this particular game, right? And, throwing up to the crowd too. The crowd were loving it. So at the end of the game, after all this commotion happened during the game and after the game, I went into the change rooms and Woosh, he was still furious, right? He still had steam coming out of his ears. I said, Woosh, what's wrong? And he just started, reeling off a few Fremantle names. Mm. And the first name that I heard was Crowley.
Ryan Crowley. All right, yeah. So this is where it gets good. This is where the whole London bus punch-up incident, I think, comes into it. Embers, so we're going to go to a song.
What now? Can't yes. I keep talking?
No, because you've talked for way too long.
I'll tell you what, so, I'm
trying to hit the button for the last
Where's Crowley?
Thinking back to the good old days has never paid off like this.
A lot of people will remember this particular game.
West Coast have won by a point. Goodness gracious me.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, Embers remembers.
I actually think this is a big call, but this is the best story you've ever said, Embers.
Well, you know what?
It's only taking you 2 years.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. But most of this truth, most of it for me is actually happen.
So reset what happened, 2005?
All right, so it's the exhibition game. It's in London. West Coast are taking on Fremantle. There has been fights going on all game. Now, West Coast have played some younger players. Fremantle have targeted some of our younger kids. Woosh is fuming, right? At the end of the game, I'm in there and I'm having a chat with Woosh and you can just see the steam coming out of his ears. And I said, Woosh, what's wrong? And he's reeling off a few names. And I remember that he said Ryan Crowley and straight away I've gone, perfect. Crowley, he's mine. I want him. So I left the change rooms, right? And I'm going, I just wanted to find him. I just wanted to belt him. Right, so I've walked out of the change rooms, and then you wouldn't believe it. There's the Fremantle team bus, right? And the whole team are on the bus. They're getting on the bus, and I've just stormed up onto the bus, right? Oh. And I've taken a couple of steps on the seat, and then on the steps, and then Anthony Grover, right? So he was playing at Fremantle at the time. I know Groves, and he can blue. He loves a fight, Groves, and he's grabbing. He goes, Embers. He goes, what the hell are you doing? And I said, mate, I'm after Crowley. Where is he? He goes, mate, have a look. There's 45 of us, right, coaches and staff, and there's one of you. And I look around, and I'm the only person by myself.
In your head, you had a whole crew.
And I'm thinking, Crowley, get off the bus. I want you now. And anyway, so I started yelling at him. Couldn't get him, but it was like, you know, that movie Wedding Crashers when Isla Fisher goes, I'll find you.
Yes.
I was like going, I'll find you, Crowley. So I went bar hopping that night looking for Crowley. Couldn't find him.
On your own still?
All by myself.
Oh, God, you need to get a gang.
At that stage, I might have had Chicky and a few of Chicky's sort of roughneck mates over in London looking for him.
But, dangerous enough.
Yeah, in the end, we couldn't find him. But, yeah, fair to say from that particular game, and I remember the first derby that we played against him post-2005, it was on. And for the next 5 or 6 years, like the tensions between the two clubs in derbies was really intense.
Well, that's because you just wanted to fight everyone.
If I actually had to put that concentration into playing football in those derbies, we might have won a few games.
So you never ended up finding
Crowley.
Beef. Did you ever end up having a confrontation or an altercation with him?
Well,
years later,
I saw him at a bar.
And
he started walking over to me and I was going, yes, this is perfect.
Oh, my God.
And he came over and he said, g'day, Embers, I'm Ryan Crowley. Can I buy you a beer?
But hang on, this is a guy, Ryan Crowley, that you threatened on a bus once.
I took two steps on the bus. And I said, Crowley, get off.
All right, so you obviously, you know, you're quite renowned for adding a thick layer of mayo on your sandwiches.
Some chipotle mayo.
With a bit of, you know, sprinkle of bullshit. Yeah,
more than 10% GST, I agree.
Yeah, so would Ryan Crowley have the same recollection of this story?
You know what, Ryan Crowley, he's scared. I don't know what he would think would happen on that particular bus.
How many beers deep were you when this incident happened? Because you sound to, like, recall it very vividly,
listen,
and I'm thinking...
I might have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
All right. Well, I just feel like, would we be able to get Ryan Crowley on the
Mate, he won't come on. He's too scared like he was on that bus that day.
Would we be able to find Ryan Crowley? Do you have Ryan Crowley's number, maybe, Embers?
Yeah, I've got it.
It's blacklisted.
I've got his number right now, but...
Let's get him,
Joel. I doubt he was going to pick up my number if I called him.
We actually were trying to get someone from Fremantle on for our season footy launch earlier in the year, and his name was thrown around, so I think we've got his details in the system.
Okay. Let's get him on, and let's hear Ryan Crowley's version of events of Embers' story.
Wild story.
Yeah, because, I mean, Embers loves a bit of mayo, but I'd love to hear from Ryan Crowley if he'll talk to us.
He won't talk.
You've burnt the bridge.
Why would he want to talk to us?
That is officially
He wouldn't want to talk to you, but maybe me. Thank you very much. True. Eavesdropping is one of my favourite hobbies. I love having a little sneaky peek.
Getting involved with other people's businesses.
Yeah, you know when like the neighbours are yelling at each other and you just sort of like really hide behind the bushes.
You walk up to me and you'll say, what are you talking about? And I said, well, it's none of your business. Just go away.
You always go into that little room and I'm always trying to read your lips, like lip reading. I'm trying to just see any drama I want in, right? So I'm at the dog park and I'm walking the dogs and up ahead there are two women and they're having a go at each other. They're actually being quite like yelling at each other and this and that.
Aggressive?
Well, yeah, kind of a little bit.
Like verbally.
Verbally. So they're just sort of, I could tell they were having a heated argument.
Yes.
And I'm sort of looking from afar and I'm like, I'm going to pick up the pace. You know what I mean?
I want to be involved in this conversation.
I need to know what's going on.
I have to know. I'm Katie Lamb who needs to know.
Exactly. Like what's the deal of one of you slept with the other person's husband? Like I start really thinking about all these things.
It would have been similar to that for sure.
I know.
What else could it be?
Exactly right. That's the only thing it could have been. So I start putting on a light jog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like jogging up and
how far is the jog?
Well, like 50 metres and I was pretty
puffed. Jeez, you would have been puffed. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting quite close. I'm about 5 metres just trailing behind these two women and they're really...
And clearly they would have heard you with that heavy breathing.
No, I'm like, girls, wait up. Wait up and speak louder. Anyway,
don't stop for me.
But they're really having a crack at each other and they're speaking quite fast and they're speaking so fast that I'm just like, I can't understand what they're saying.
Slow down, please.
I just wanted to say, guys, slow down. And like, what is all this about? Anyway, so I get a little bit closer and I'm really, really, really trying to listen in and I can hear what they're saying, but I can't quite understand. And I'm like, are you slowing down? No. And I'm, and then I realize they're speaking in another language. They're speaking in French.
They were not having an argument whatsoever. They're just chatting. They're best friends.
I was just like, mi scusi, like me no comprehende what you're saying.
Sound a bit Asian if you ask me.
Teary. Margaret River is a pretty busy place at the moment with the Margaret River Pro going on down south. And big news that we've heard over the last couple of hours or so, World Surf League champion, 11-time champion, in fact, Kelly Slater at the age of 49, calling it quits. He lost in a heat today at Margaret River and said, that's enough for me, folks.
Catch you later. 49.
Catch ya.
What an absolute
49.
Legend.
Legend.
Greatest surfer of all time.
100%. Now, last week we caught up with a man by the name of Andrew Bromley, hosts the Barreled Surf podcast, and he joins us once again on the Rush Hour. Hello, Andrew.
Good afternoon, legends. How are we?
Oh, very well, Andrew. Massive day, Margaret River. Tell us how it all unfolded.
So I was lucky enough to get a quick interview of Kelly Slater after his first win this morning. So we were sort of thinking, oh, it's going to be over, it's going to be over. Kelly's done. But no, he won his first heat.
Yep.
So he was into the next round and unfortunately could not get the job done in that one. So it looked like it was all over for Kelly. Now, we made a little pact with the GOAT himself last week when we were having a surf. And we said, mate, last time you eliminated Margaret River, you didn't get the sort of send-off that we thought you deserved. So how about we cheer you up the stairs at Margaret River if you happen to lose? And Kelly said, if I win or if I lose, you guys are on. So he lost and we managed to do the big cheer up the stairs. The two other hosts of the podcast were cheering him up. And I was lucky enough to carry Kelly's board up the stairs and then lots of cheers and lots of mayhem and all the kids were going crazy and yeah, lots of cuddles at the end from Kelly. So it was an incredible moment.
How good. Hey, the day that Kelly Slater decides to retire, he does it here in Western Australia, of course, down in Margaret River. And Andrew, you and a few of the mates from the Barreled podcast, you are the guys that actually cheer him off and take him into the sunset. How unbelievable is that?
We took him into the sunset and said, thanks for everything, Kelly. Greatest of all time, 11-time world champion. 52 years of age, mind you.
What?
52? Wow.
Wow. Jeez. Wikipedia begs to differ.
Producer Joel's just got no idea. But anyway, we blame him for the 49 that he wrote in front of us. But we knew it was 52.
Yeah, I knew it was 52. Obviously, I'm good friends with
Kel. Won the Pipeline Masters as a 49-year-old, 10:50 a few days after, and now he's done. So thanks for everything, Kelly.
Thanks for everything, Kelly. I mean, that's the coolest 52-year-old I know.
Yes. And also, well, you know, Andrea, you know what I like too? So when you see Kelly written up now, it's got Kelly, but it's got the 11, as in the 11 world title. Mm. So it's a great branding exercise, you know, KE11Y. Because if he had won another world championship, I reckon KE12Y wouldn't look any good. So I think he's done the right thing.
I think he's gotten out while he's ahead with the branding, that's for sure. I don't know what they would have done there.
What does this mean for the surfing community down in Margaret River?
Well, it, you know, he's actually been on the tour since he was 18, 19, I think. So that's 30-plus years he's been involved. He's been to Margaret River, you know, 20-plus times, I think. He loves it down here. He doesn't love the wave as much as the other areas, the other sort of waves in the area.
Yep.
But I said to him today when I was interviewing him, I said, mate, you may not love the wave loves you. And he said, it's true. Yeah, it really does. I've had some incredible times down here. And no doubt he'll be back, but probably just having a little free surf.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you reckon we're going to be seeing him as often? Not really.
Well, a little birdie called Kelly Slater actually told me that he's hoping to be at the Fiji event, which is happening at Cloudbreak later in the year. He wants to get a World Cup for that.
Wow, that's an accurate birdie.
Look out.
Okay. Well,
look
if
out
he's not...
a bit of a John Farnham situation there with Kelly. Coming back.
Surfing some of our great waves. He might be at some of the great wineries because there is a few to choose from down there, Andrew.
And Andrew, I'm sure there's a spare spot at your house that he can crash at,
Yeah, he's coming over tonight for a barbecue.
Beautiful.
So we'll
tell him I said good. Hang on, what do you serve up Kelly Slater at the barbecue?
Yeah, what's for dinner?
Humble pie? I don't know. just some steaks and some Margaret River Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that. Nice one. Well, tell Kelly we wish him all the best in his retirement. He'll know what it means.
I will indeed. It's the end of the
world as we know it. Triple M's Rush Hour with Embers and Katie.
Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. Chances are you're about to lose.